The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
We're going to continue with your calls for a few minutes. Kevin Starrett, we're going to talk with him a little bit later about some of the gun bills that are getting ready to pop up, like really nasty poisonous mushrooms in the state legislative session. But we have to keep an eye on it. This is where we find ourselves right now. And after the Kim Komando digital update, I want to get your take on, I had this almost 25-minute talk there with Dr. Robert Marbot. Of course, he did the Fentanyl Death Incorporated documentary. And wanted to find out what your thoughts are on low barrier shelter. He says, you know, you have to have the low barrier shelter with the treatment there. And so you can't allow the drinking and the drugging once you are inside, but we will admit you, you know, that way. I don't know if that's all that different from what Gospel Rescue does in Grants Pass, but what is your overall impression of what would be needed to get some of the, like I said, I saw that young woman raving on the streets of Medford the other day, and it felt such a tug because the humanity of it just really, you know, bothered me that it doesn't seem that there's anything we can do about an individual like this and going through it. And I'm just going to throw it open to you and anything else that's on your mind, too. But that just struck me because this is the big battle in Grants Pass right now. They want to have a low-barrier shelter. But then a lot of people in Grants Pass don't want a low-barrier shelter because they look at it as enabling. And then Marbot says, okay, well, you have to have low-barrier, but it has to be clean once you are inside. But I don't know, you have to be clean once you're inside the Union Gospel Mission, too, or the Gospel Rescue Mission, rather. We can talk about that. Anything else on your mind, too? Pretty complex issue, but I'll give you a shot at it. Now then, lots of craziness going on as far as the finances, the markets, and everything else. Gold is kind of laughing at it all, just still sitting there, nice and boring, 27, 2750, still bouncing around there, hasn't shed much at all. Yeah, it's what it's about, protecting wealth in interesting times. Talk with Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers at Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And not having any gold or silver is probably not a good plan, in my opinion, but you can talk to your financial advisor and then talk to Mark and Andrea and the rest of the people there. They know these markets, and they are big on having you having control of your physical gold and silver. And by the way, if you have scrap gold and silver, they'll take that and give you a good fair price for it. Either way, buying or selling, they'll help you navigate these markets. At Jay Austin and Company in Ashland and Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com. Or better yet, just drop by the store today.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Kim, NetSuite.com.
Here KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
A lot of people want to talk, but my conversation with Dr. Robert Marbot, 770-5633 as we go through those, and what to do about low barrier addiction, an addiction that seems to be mostly a product of pre-existing mental illness issues. Wild Salmon Steve. Hello, Steve. How are you? You have a thought on this?
Yeah, it's such a complicated issue, but, it kind of depends on where you stand to view what's going on. And, I'm old enough to have seen a whole different economy where people had jobs that paid enough for them to navigate the system and have a life, whether they were educated or not. And now, unless you have something to offer the upper end of the economic ladder, you get tossed out. And if you don't have skills, drugs seem to be the only option that you have to have any kind of happiness, regardless of what it does to you. And in order to pay for what we need an economy that generates enough funds. And, the county doesn't have enough money to build the beds that's needed.
And the cities certainly don't either, really.
And the cities don't either. It's kind of – there's another issue that he wasn't talking about, but it's elderly people. It used to be families took care of people, as they got older. Now the family structure has broken down.
So we have multiple breakdowns at the same time. They were all and we're all sitting at this, and and yet we must move in some direction. What would you suggest?
Yes. Well, I don't have an answer other than the economy of the country needs to be built back such that we have enterprises that have enough margins to pay people, and we have jobs that don't require a college education as we did. You know,
in other words, competing with low wage China or Vietnam or anything else is not going to help us deal with these issues. In other words,
not because of the cost of them, and. You know, here's an example. Right now, if I was talking to my dental assistant, she's dealing with her parents. They're in their mid-80s, early 90s, and they can't take care of themselves. In an institution, it costs $22,000 a month.
You know, it's like I would like to be making $22,000 a month on a regular day. Yeah, much less. That certainly illustrates some of our issue in play. Thank you, Steve. Good hearing from you. All right, let me go to Brad. Brad, you wanted to weigh in on where the money would be rededicated or redirected. Is that kind of where you wanted to go?
Yeah. No, you know, if you want something to get fixed, you got to spend money, but you got to spend it wisely, carefully, and in a very directed way. You know, just like Bill, you've spoken more than anybody about this big many of these big problems that they just throw money at. For instance, we've learned that the federal government has given Catholic charities nearly $3 billion a year for taking care of illegal aliens.
Well, which means essentially enabling the invasion. Yeah.
Correct. So when you turn something into big business like that, you're not going to make the problem. What you're doing is you're incentivizing these big organizations to really use it as a source of revenue. So you got to turn this on its head, and you've got to make sure that you start doing things where you're causing an actual reduction. So you've got to really monitor that money and how you use it.
Do we need to rebuild the institutions though? Because remember, we have essentially destroyed the mental health institutions over the last 40, 50 years. Okay, do we need to rebuild that?
You know, we do. You know, when I was growing up in Klamath Falls, a lot of people don't know this, but in the 1960s, Klamath County had one of the largest alcohol problems per capita in the entire nation. And they eventually got ahead of it, but it wasn't by giving more access to alcohol. It was by working on treatment programs and treating the problem at the family level. All of this stuff, Bill, really comes down to the family level. People in healthy families with healthy emotional relationships are much less likely to have these substance abuse problems.
I think that's a good way to wrap that. Thanks for the call there, Brad. Lucretia is in Ashland. Lucretia, I'd like to get your take on it, too. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. You know, it's fascinating. If you watch the movie Old World History and the other one about lost history, it's fascinating. The biggest building during the last Great Reset from the 1800s, 1902 was the last Great Reset. The biggest buildings and the most gorgeous buildings were all the mental institutions. Something with the whole changeover, as they changed over, I don't know, they were calling everybody conspiracy theorists and or whatever, you know, which is kind of scary because we know Clinton and Bush Sr. were partners in crime and bringing in all the drugs during the Iran-Contra affair. And we know they still do. Catherine Austin Fitz says that's how they're propping up the stock market with the drug, you know, money they bring in.
Yeah, I know that Catherine still tends to she makes those claims and continues on that. I agree. Yeah. That's what she does.
So like your guest just said, we're incentivizing it. But then you go to people like Professor Chris Prommer of Harvard, who had depression and metabolic syndrome, and when he got on Atkins diet, it went away, and now he's literally says it's all about the diet. And all these people that went on carnivore, or you know, just got off all the plastic. You know, we spray 250 billion pounds of pesticides a year.
So it's not just the availability of shelters and treatment, but it's also about. So you're looking at the bad diet side of things, and I'm thinking about this as I'm watching RFK Jr. right now on the Fox scroll above me. Being grilled in the confirmation hearings, and he's considered part of the problem by many.
Yeah, okay. You know, they're going to call people like you as the conspiracy theorists and want to put you in there because now they've pushed all these, you know, these programs that allow for people to take drugs, and then all these other people that just understand we've got a corrupt government are going to be put in them.
Okay. Interesting point on that, Lucretia. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. We got a little bit of open phone time. Hi, good morning, Ron. Go ahead.
Yeah, in reference to the people who are drug addicted, maybe we should start out with something that is a mental test and a physical test, like a blood test. Find out what their problem is. Find out what their skill sets are. Then set up a program with the pharmaceutical companies, who would then develop a counter drug seed or injected seed pill that counteracts whatever.
You're talking about to take care of the problem with a lot of the mentally ill have a problem, which then you can't force them to take a med, right?
Well, not only that, but people who aren't mentally ill, who are just drug addicted, it's an existential threat, like one of your guests said in the previous segments, and it affects everybody in the United States, because it takes from their discretionary money to go into taking care of these people after they get into worse trouble, go into a hospital, then have to be held there.
Okay. All right. Ron, appreciate the call. Thanks for the suggestion. Let me go to – I'll take one more call, and then we'll wrap this particular segment. Hi, this is Bill. Good morning. Who's this?
Athena.
Did you say Athena?
Athena in Grants Pass.
Yeah. Hello, Athena. Welcome.
I'm glad we're having this conversation. What concerns me is the statement that you made, this crazy loco who was yelling, obviously, in a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
When we see people with mental illness as human beings with rights and treat them with respect, then our program will be funded and changed.
You really think so? So the fact that I noticed that she, and I know, and I used a term that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and medicalize my speech here, Athena, in which the fact is the woman was screaming and raging like the proverbial lunatic, okay? You know, and so a lot of suffering, a lot of suffering going on there. But I got to tell you, all the kids getting off the school bus there too, you know, to go to there, probably scare the hell out of them, you know?
Okay, and I don't want you to medicalize it. I want you to humanize it and see them as humans.
Well, I do see them as human. I'm also seeing them as really troubled humans. Okay,
them as humans, not lunatics.
Okay, well then what? Okay, they're humans that are behaving as lunatics. How would you describe them then? Hello. Okay, like I said, I'm using everyday talk, you know, to describe it. We see something like this, we know what we're looking at, all right? Being direct, I think is, I wasn't saying that it wasn't a personal judgment that they are a bad person because they're behaving as a lunatic, but they're still behaving as a lunatic, and you have to call it as you see it. I appreciate the call, though. It's 8:34.
The cinnamon roll French toast at Diner 62 is so deliciously decadent and sinful, it's illegal in 6 states.
Rain is Hokanson of Hokanson Realty.
The Bill Myers Show is on. News Talk 106.3 KMED.
It's 8:36. Appreciate you being here. We'll grab a couple more calls and then get ready for Kevin Starrett as he explains what's going on with the the amazing anti-Second Amendment bills in the state legislature. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Oh, good morning, Bill. This is Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Yeah, I wanted to come on the woman who just called saying how we have to humanize them. For one thing, I'd like to know how much experience she's had trying to deal with people that were mentally ill or, you know, off their rocker, like in public. And I have seen them attacking people verbally, sometimes physically, et cetera, and so forth. And I lived in a community for about 13 years. It was a very alternative community back in the 70s. It was houseboats down in Sausalito, California. And it was wide open community. Anybody could come. And we had drug addicts, hookers, mentally crazy people. And they were all part of our community. And we all loved them and treated them really great. And, you know, but they're the ones whose houseboats sank. They're the ones who ended up, you know, dying because of something that they, you know, some of their behaviors.
I think, you know, I am seeing the humanity of the person, which is why I feel such sympathy for it. But on the other hand, I also have to be aware that not all cultures and behaviors are equally good. Okay.
Right. And, well, what I'm trying to say is you can't just say, oh, just accept them as they are, because they need some intervention, or they're going to hurt themselves and others along with them. It's just the way it is.
It's a good point, and thanks for making it. I'll grab one more call. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Good morning. Holly Morton, Josephine County.
Hey, Holly. What's up?
I loved your last speaker. You know, the thing is, empathy, you know, they're always saying, oh, you're not empathetic because you don't care about these people. Of course we all care about these people. But the problem is people are not recognizing that until they're off drugs, they have zero chance of things improving for them. Zero chance. So when you take them into a low barrier shelter that doesn't have a specific program, which is what we, you know, we're talking about a lot of times in our town, that doesn't have a specific program to A, detox, and B, deal with the mental health issues that got them involved in drugs in the first place, they're not going to see improvement.
And that is the takeaway.
Needles and stuff does nothing. And you know, that doesn't mean you're not empathetic. And recognizing that somebody's off their rocker doesn't mean you're not empathetic. It means you're recognizing that this person is in need of being rescued with detox and proper treatment.
Very good point. And thank you for making it, Holly. By the way, just
by the way, Bill, I have time to say that we've got Saturday, we've got a rally at the office, Josephine County Republican Party office,
okay,
dealing mainly with the issues about the fire map. But Ron Smith, Commissioner Ron Smith, and Senator Noah Robinson will both be there 10 o'clock in the morning at our office in Josephine County, 513 Northeast 6th Street.
All right, very good. By the way, that fire meeting is for tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Josephine County Fairgrounds, 7 o'clock. Bob Hart's going to be one of the lead speakers on that. And tonight in Medford, it is the Northwest Forest meeting at the BLM office, 3040 Biddle Road, 6 o'clock. I might want to get there early. The gangrenes are going to be out rallying and hissy-fitting about old-growth timber, as they always do, and carbon, and I'm sure climate chaos and all the rest of it. So we got plenty of meetings. All right?
People
thanks, Holly.
People need to get there. Bob Hart's going to be at our meeting also, Bill.
Oh, all right. Great.
On Saturday morning at 10.
All right. Thanks for that. 20 before 9. This is the Bill Myers Show. 261-5444, the number for Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Maybe you had your auto or your, let's say your fire insurance canceled or your coverage has been reduced or made more expensive. Talk to Steve, 261-5444 at Sky Park. Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance agency, big, longtime sponsor of my show. Many people have saved money. Give him a call, get a quote, find out if he can be able to help you on one of these insurance issues that you may be enduring right now. And if you have a Medicare question, well, for that, talk to Lynn Barton, also at Sky Park. 499-0958, 499-0958. You can also email me if you forget the numbers, but I'll get a hold of you and take care of you, okay? And on top of that, they will give you really good customer service. SkyParkINS.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
This apply. News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Kevin Starrett from Oregon Firearms Federation keeping us up now that the state legislative session is into the second week. Nobody is safe when it comes to the Second Amendment rights. And you put out an alert the other day, Kevin. Welcome back to the show, as always, sir. Oh, it might help if I actually pushed your button. Now you're on. How you doing, Kevin?
Okay. Good. Thank you, Bill.
All right. So it is an interesting time here because as good as things are looking at the federal level, or at least a lot of positive action going on here, it seems to have, if anything, treasured our homegrown communists to even more anti-Second Amendment activity. Would that be a fair assessment where we find ourselves in this session?
Yeah, and we're seeing the stuff that we see, you know, over and over and over again, and no surprises. But what the alert was about, and what's really concerning for us, is this House Bill 3443. And what it says is that if a person is charged with a felon in possession of a firearm, they're going to have a separate charge for every gun they have. Now, why do we care, right? We're not felons, and we don't want bad people to have guns. But here's the problem. For about the last year or so, the state police, in what we believe is blatantly a violation of the law, have been refusing to recognize expungements and set-asides and restoration of rights.
Now, that's interesting. Now, that's interesting you bring this up, because on the Lars Larson Show, they always talk about OregonGunRights.com or something like that, get your rights restored. It's those kind of people that help you get expungements, right? That kind of thing?
Exactly. And the understanding has always been that when you had your rights restored, your rights were restored. And in Oregon, an expungement is like it never happened. And most of these processes allow you to say, I am not a convicted felon on any federal form. And for years, that's how it's been. And people who had a problem in the past or maybe were accused of something and got out from under it because the facts came out, but for whatever reason, their convictions were reversed. They now were treated like they never had any kind of conviction. And then lo and behold, the state police just pull out of the air their decision that they will no longer recognize this.
How can the state police ignore a lawful legal procedure that says that you are no longer a felon, you know, an expungement? I don't get this.
I have no idea how they get away with it. Furthermore, what I have no idea is if you most of these records are supposed to be sealed. So for certain, now there's several different ways you can have your rights restored, and some of it is too technical for me to get into because, you know, I'm not an attorney, but these records are supposed to be sealed and not available. Why do the state police have these records? Why are the state police abusing these records? And I will tell you now, I'm hearing from people every day who said, I've been buying guns for years. I have top secret security clearances. I have a concealed handgun license, and I have suppressors. Now I'm being told I can't buy a gun. Now, here's the real scary thing about this, is that the state police are now taking the position that those people are felons. So they're saying that they're felons. They're also saying, we have a record of the guns you previously bought, which we approved. Now, the state legislature wants to take those people who've got their rights restored, went through the process, had an understanding that what they were being told was true. Now they want to put a target on their back and say, we want to put you in jail for 5 years for every gun we approved you for buying.
Whoa, that is one of the most outrageous, tyrannical bills that I have ever heard of. Creating crime, you know, in other words, creating criminals is what the state legislature wishes to do.
Well, are the same people, keep in mind, who are creating criminals of people who've done everything right while simultaneously introducing bills to legalize theft. This is absolutely insane, completely out of control. And so dangerous. I mean, there's so many things going on now in the legislature which are designed to crush people who play by the rules. You're in rural Oregon, you're a farmer or a rancher, they're coming for you. But this is really, really insidious because I have a couple of calls I have to return today are people saying, well, what's my liability? Because remember, when the state police approved the firearms transfer, which is required by state law, mm-hmm. they now keep a record of this transfer. Now, if their position is you're a felon because we approved your transfer, what kind of target does that put on your back, especially in a regime controlled by people as unethical as Tina Kotek or legislators who are clearly quota hires like James Manning, whose only qualification for being appointed to the job was his race, certainly not any intellectual capacities. And so when we first found out about this, in discussions with the attorneys, it appeared they were being told that people who already own guns weren't at risk. Now that's not at all clear. And how could it not be clear?
And how could they criminalize it? But still, it's once again criminalizing after the fact. What about the, isn't there a constitutional protection against, what is it, ipso? I forget what they call it, but there's
ex post facto.
Yeah, ex post facto.
What they're saying is, the FBI told us to do this. And the FBI is saying, we didn't tell you to do anything. The reality is they have these records, which I believe they shouldn't have. I know for a fact that a Department of Justice attorney went to the state police and put this idea in their head. And now these people are at enormous risk. And these are the people who've done everything right and played by the rules. Meanwhile, the legislature now says, if you want to go steal food, water, tents, or condoms, that is now legal. If that bill passes, these people are out of their minds.
Well, and you think about House Bill 2001, in which all of these deadbeats that didn't pay their rent and were evicted, they're held non accountable, right? We're told you can't know about that if you're a landlord, right?
Not anymore. Not anymore, because now we've just eliminated that rule. But you know, the potential for this is so far reaching; it goes way beyond gun rights because. In Oregon, say there are a lot of things you cannot do if you're a felon. If the state has told you you're no longer a felon and you engaged in those activities, and now the state comes along and says, yes, you are a felon. For example.
Well, how about voting? How about voting?
Voting? Yeah. How about voting? How about serving on a jury?
Yeah.
Now, if you served on a jury because legally you were told you could, and now the state comes along or the state police come along, and I should tell you, here's what makes this even scarier. We're pretty sure, actually, we're almost 100% sure that what the state police are doing is illegal. There's already been one court case where they lost. And the only problem is it only applied to the one plaintiff. We haven't been able to get it to extend statewide. But What they're doing, we believe, is patently illegal. But the state police have come to the legislature and asked the legislature to codify it into law and make it legal. And there's already several bills out there that are going to be used to do that. What do these people do? What do these people do who don't even know what their liability is and won't get any answers? I talked to a guy yesterday who spent hours on the phone with the state police, and all he got was, I don't know, that's not our job, it's not our problem. He was told, well, we have absolutely no record that you've ever been arrested. Then the person he was talking to, he could hear on the phone speaking to someone who's clearly sitting next to them saying, you know, oh, here's the number of his court case. I said, wait a minute, you just told me you don't have any records. So they're being lied to, they're given the runaround, and they have no idea what they're supposed to do at this point. It's flat-out evil, and it's just typical of what Oregon has been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and even though it's for a very small section of gun rights owners, you know, in the state of Oregon, this has the potential of mushrooming into a much larger kettle of fish for everyone here. And, you know, if you're not going to defend these people who went and followed the, you know, the rules, how can you expect anyone to help you if they, when they come after you, I guess? Isn't that another way of looking at it?
If you determine that people who you said your rights are restored, you are no longer a felon, now you say you are a felon, do you not have to go look at the jury pool of every case we've had for the last 75 years to find out if somebody serving on the jury who reached a decision should not have been there? It's insane, but that's Oregon Democrats.
Yeah. All right. Now, House Bill 3443 do we know if it's having a hearing or what's the status of it right now? It's early in the system right now.
It showed up in my system yesterday, so it's just been assigned to committee, so it has a ways to go. But it's typical. Listen, with or without this bill, we still have almost certainly the state police's bill that will demand that this become law, plus 15 or 20 other demands to make it as hard as possible for a transfer to take place, with waiting periods and their ability to slow. I'm already slowing most people down, but they want to put all this into law. So whether this bill moves forward or not, the state police firearms check unit has already come to the legislature and said, here's our wish list of how to make life hell for people who are trying to legally purchase a gun.
Well, I'm thinking in my perfect world, we should be defunding the Oregon State Police. Totally.
Well, certainly the firearms instant check system. You know, the state police, the guys who are on the road, well, gosh, we don't have enough of them. But these are civilian employees who are under the director. The director of the state police now, the cop in charge of the state police, is the guy who gunned down Lavoy Finicum, who was rewarded for doing that.
Really? For gunning down Lavoy? Really?
Yeah, he's now the head of the state police.
Oh, so that's a qualification. All right, good. That's a, hey, I gunned down Lavoy. You're hired.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Kevin, thanks for keeping us in the loop on this one. And I'm just going to say, if you aren't signed up for the alerts and getting these on a daily basis, as Kevin's keeping you aware of these legislative pitfalls that could be coming our way here, you're missing out. Go to OregonFirearms.org. And if you haven't contributed, please do that too. Okay, Kevin, and is there any way the Republicans can fight back on this that would be effective on 3444?
Yes, there's all kinds of ways they can fight back. The problem is not the ability. The problem is the spine. And the fact is they still have the means and the ability and whatever they need to stop this stuff. And the problem is that if you look at the stuff they put out, the daily emails, hey, look at me, how wonderful I am. It's a constant litany of, I'm working across the aisle, I'm bipartisan. Oh, but wait, they have the majority. It's like somebody, you know, two guys are coming to attack your wife, and you say, well, wait a minute, there's two of them and only one of me. Do what you want to the girl, just don't hurt me.
Uh-huh.
But they certainly have the means to do it, and the question is, will they have the will?
And that's going to be the big question in this session. Thanks so much, Kevin. We'll have you back as always, okay? Be well.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 854 KMED and KBXG, rather.
Who's ready?
About having a little bit of money in your pocket.
Father and Son Jewelry on Jackson between Riverside and Central, Medford.
Hi, I'm Paul Strandberg with Valley View Nursery, and I'm on KMED.
856, we'll do some emails of the day. Sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. By the way, they have a kiosk that if you need some special treatments, some mouthwashes, toothbrushes, water picks, things like that, they'll sell them to you at their cost. In fact, I bought a water pick from them the other day with Dr. Steve. Did them some cleaning yesterday. You'll enjoy the experience. And that is centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Had Patrick writing me about Athena in Grants Pass. Hey, Bill, It's simple. I'm not saying that they were a lunatic. What I'm saying is that they were acting like a lunatic. It is only a comment upon their actions, not upon their existence as a person. You know, and I agree. And that's kind of where I was coming from, Patrick. Thanks for that. Betty weighs in this morning. Bill, if there were no illegal aliens in Oregon, there probably wouldn't be much of a need for more housing. Very simple way to deal with the issue. Call POTUS and tell ICE to come get them. Yeah, no help from the state of Oregon, though. You got to understand that, Betty. Matt writes me, Bill, I'm just giddy about what Trumpzilla is doing. Besides mass deportations, this may be my favorite, offering 2 million federal employees buyouts. All they have to do is reply to the email that they have been sent with the word resign to get the paperwork started. Yeah. And it's time for Trump to include Iranian and any terrorist organizations into the Monroe Doctrine that have dug themselves in south of our border. Let them know that if you support said terrorists within your border, you will be tariffed. You may know that the socialist communist South American leaders are talking about how to address the mass repatriations. Repatriation, I like that. It sounds patriotic. All right. Matt, I always appreciate your thinking on that. Randy writes about, Bill, listening to Vice President J.D. Vance and Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt is so refreshing after 4 years of the incomprehensible excuses spewed by the Biden thing. 4 years under the onslaught of Biden's DOJ has hardened Donald Trump. He put all that behind him to pursue his mission of restoring American greatness. I appreciate you writing on that one, Randy. Okay. Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. Now then, as I close, get your peanut butter and your jellies and get down to Kelly's Automotive Services. 14th annual Wipeout Hunger Drive still going on. Bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter and 10 or more ounces of jelly to the Grants Pass or Medford location to put a pair of new windshield wipers on your car valued up to $35 this week. Donations up to $500, matched by Tyler Lake from Juggernaut Marketing and Tom Randall from State Farm Insurance. We thank them both. Your donations doubled. Kelly's Automotive Service, Juggernaut Marketing, and Tom Randall, State Farm.